Brooks, the number wonder down under for socks, and has been for 20 years.
Game of Thrones, obviously one of the biggest franchises of the last decade. No, I haven't seen it either, Fev. Oh, we won't talk about it. We just love it. See, Fev and I, we've yet to watch. I'm going to binge this series.
Yeah, binge it.
Binge right at the end and just watch like a whole day and be right in it. So I don't want any spoilers.
Why don't you binge it to after the baby comes and we can get hammered
that's
watching
what,
it?
Well, that's
she would be nursing. So
yeah, we'll pump. I mean, no. Sorry, you
pumped
the milk.
Okay. Pump the milk. I saw his hand
that
gesture.
That needed clarification.
His hand gestures were fine.
It did. Pump the milk.
Now, this is interesting because there is an English actor. His name's Nicholas Hoult. Now, the name may not mean much to you, but you'd know him if you saw him. He's in one of my favourite movies of all time with Hugh Grant. It's called About a Boy. He was the boy in that. Oh. And then he's gone on to be in, I think, The Inbetweeners, a UK series.
Oh, that's funny. That's very funny. Show. If it's The Inbetweeners.
What?
Skins.
He's in Skins.
Okay, because
anyway, sorry, not The Inbetweeners. Now he's done a. He's you know him basically. Now he was in a 2000.
You're going to get patient with his reset, and so you've just gone. You know him. I can't be bothered.
He's in a movie. He was in Clash of the Titans. Do you remember that film in 2010? Who was that? Wasn't Brad Pitt? Was it?
No.
Who was that?
Oh, let's not get bogged down.
Sam Worthington.
Clash of the Titans. Anyway, so he's just filmed Clash of the Titans and he's gone off to audition for Jon Snow. Oh. So he could have been Jon Snow. And I'd argue he was a more popular or established actor than Kit Harington at the time.
Right.
So he's auditioned for it. But because he's just come off the set of Clash of the Titans, mm-hmm. where he was playing an Athenian or a Spartan from way back when, he had a lot of fake tan on.
Oh. Looked because, orange.
Yeah, he probably did look orange. Well, he certainly wouldn't look like Jon Snow. So he's gone in and he's on a talk show in the States. He's just revealed that's the reason he didn't get it. So Kit Harington, sorry, buddy, you would have been pipped at the post by Nicholas Hoult had he not had a bad spray tan.
So fake tan has destroyed his career in many ways.
It has. He's still doing okay. He's still doing movies, but he's not Jon Snow. Fake tan ruined his chances. Now fake tan can ruin a lot of things: sheets, towels,
bath, like the shower. I had a fake tan when I got nude for the new Monty. And I'd never had one before, but I didn't want to have one, but they made us have one.
You don't need one, you got olive skin.
Yeah, but they made us all have one. The only one that didn't have one was John Wood, which is very funny.
Can't make him do that.
There wasn't enough spray.
He has dignity.
I don't know why I didn't have it. But anyway, I've got it done, and they said you can't have a shower for 6 hours. And it stinks. So I laid down, I was watching the sport, it was on a Sunday, so I was laying down on the couch at the hotel, and I'm like, I've seen that Alex gets them. Obviously, and the sheets get marked all the time. So I've laid down a towel. Obviously, it's a white towel because you're in a hotel. Yeah, okay. So I've laid all these towels down on the couch because I didn't want to get on the couch. I've got up off the couch and the towels are stuck to me and they're covered in tan. And I'm like, oh, no. Obviously, I got charged for them because I tried to wash them and didn't come out. Up in the shower? What?
Yeah.
The everywhere. Shower, everywhere. I'm like, it's all washed off.
What it does.
It's unbelievable. It stinks. I hate them.
Well, do you know what? It's funny. When I worked for Channel 7 a few years ago and I was the entertainment editor and I'd fly around the world doing, I did a story once on this incredible, like, billionaires resort. It was up near.
In a tree?
No, it was in Hamilton Island. It was Qualia. Yeah.
She often did the weather Qualia. Up a
well
and
done.
I was in
That's
there.
That's one you say yes
like,
to.
I know, but it was like just showing how the rich and famous live. And I was in one of these sort of condo apartments that were literally about $10,000 a night. And I was sitting on a white couch and I was doing my cross. And I got up and I had brown, all my spray tan all over this brand new billionaire's white couch. Ruined
was it from
that.
The tan?
Yeah, it was from the tan. Oh. 13, 10, 60. What did fake tan ruin? Now, we're not just talking furniture. We're talking your chances of a job.
Yeah.
After this, I'm going to tell you how it ruined one of my relationships.
Wow, good tease.
Because it stinks.
13, 10, 60 is the number.
It backfired badly.
We'll take your calls on the Fox.
101.9 The Fox. The Fox.
We're just talking fake tan because a famous British actor who no one probably knows called Nicholas Hoult, he was in line to play Jon Snow. He was a favourite above Kit Harington, but he turned up to the audition with fake tan on because he'd done another movie, and he thinks that's the reason he didn't get it, because he was all tanned up. He should have. Or put some white powder on or something, like just get rid of the tan.
I wear a fair bit of it. It takes a while. It can take up to a week to go away.
Yeah, look, fake.
It's because you get it about three
tan,
or four times a week.
I get quite a few coatings.
Let's be honest. It's great for a photo. It's great for an event. But it does ruin things, even relationships. I'll get to that in a second.
Tease. You've teased it 8 times.
Karen, better hear the story. Karen in Pantry Gully. Hi, Karen.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Good.
My boss walked into her. I walked into my boss's office one morning, and she was what looked to me like bruises. And I said to her, "What happened?" And she was going overseas for a massive family do, and she'd got a spray tan. It looked like she was covered in bruises instead of a spray tan.
Wow. Oh. So it was all blotchy.
Oh. Yeah. So because the dress she was wearing was strapless. So,
No.
It was a disaster. It was terrible.
Do you know the thing about it?
What do you do
it?
There, Boxy?
Well, you
have to exfoliate and redo it?
You have to put makeup, you have to exfoliate, you have to do everything, and then you might have to actually put body makeup on over those bits. Yeah. But the thing is, and Karen would probably agree with this, that when you've got a bad fake tan, you don't know it. And I did go through a stage where I was a little bit addicted to them, and I was in a relationship at the time, and I was and he used to go, "I just like your skin the way it is." And I probably should have listened to that a bit more. And I was, when I started going to the spray tan, I'd start with just the chocolate fudge, and then when I upgraded to the chocolate royale.
Okay. Are you talking about body paint still? Or
no, I'm talking about the tone. So I was going for a chocolate royale, and every time I went in, my spray tanner would say, "You want something a bit lighter? You want something a tiny bit lighter?" But I was starting to, it was like body dysmorphia. I didn't realize, I just thought, go as dark as I can. And I'm of fair Irish descent.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not someone that's supposed to be that brown.
No.
And I went to a wedding with my boyfriend at the time, and I was so addicted. I got my spray tan the day before, and then I woke up in the morning and I said, "I'm not brown enough." I went back. So I went in and I said, "I just need to be browner." Like a full-blown addiction.
It's a problem.
And I went in, and even the spray tan is like, "I really don't feel comfortable doing this. You're already brown." I'm like, "Browner, browner, browner." And anyway, she did it. And I've gone to the wedding. And as you know, I get quite emotional. So I've cried through the wedding. But the tan had not set fully. So I cried stripes down my face. And he's like looking at me going, "What's
like
happened to your face?" Yeah, I did. But they wouldn't wash off. So I didn't have any makeup on me. So I spent the night at this wedding reception looking like a stripy zebra. And we broke up a few weeks later. Now, he's never said it was the spray tan.
100% it would have been.
I've looked back at photos from that time in my life.
I'm surprised he didn't leave at the wedding.
101.9 The Fox. The Fox.
Now it's a very common thing in the world in 2019 to get DNA tests to try to figure out your ancestry.
Mm.
We did it with Ancestry.com. Now I'm bringing it up because if you didn't watch Channel 7 Sunday Night last night, amazing story. In a nutshell, a woman who was adopted, she was from Zimbabwe. Now she lives, she was brought up on the Sunshine Coast with her adoptive Australian parents. Anyway, a DNA test took her back to Zimbabwe, and she'd always been told this story that she'd been found by the roadside.
Yep.
So she was a baby that had been abandoned.
1983.
Yes. And she's gone back and she's found her two parents who had 12 other children.
Yeah.
But there was a big twist in the show last night, Fev, and just before you fell asleep watching it.
I cried. I was crying. I was like this. I was really emotional.
Mm.
It was an awful story.
You might have been crying because you were tired. I mean,
I was really okay. Emotional.
You fell asleep in the ad break though before the end, so
before
I've had to tell him what happened
said,
at the end.
Yeah, there was a big secret that at the end, but I didn't quite find out because it wasn't the mother.
So what she found out was, so when she's gone back through this DNA testing, she's found who she thought were her parents, and the story goes that the mother gave birth to twins, and then one of the twins mysteriously disappeared. So they believe that she was stolen and then adopted.
Which has happened quite frequently.
Which is a really sad story to think that she'd been told who the other twin died when really she went to Australia. But then a twist came where they did a second DNA test and they decided, well, that said, no, these two aren't your parents, but you're related to them. In actual fact, the girl you think is your sister is your cousin.
What?
Yeah. And then suddenly they realised, hang on, so somebody related to the woman that thinks she's your mother is your mother.
Because she's got four sisters.
And ended up being one of the sisters. Oh, and then Fev fell asleep. Yeah, but what happened after that was, so then this woman from the Sunshine Coast is over there going, well, hang on a second. She's looked at one of the aunts and basically gone, I think you're my mother. And then that woman gets whisked away in a van. So
what?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mystery. But this is the thing, see, we are all celebrating DNA testing, but sometimes Ancestry.com can reveal secrets you didn't know.
Ancestry.com. Secrets.
I mean, Feb, you and I did our DNA testing.
We did.
Yes.
Should we relive some of those moments?
You know, it really showed the opposites of Fee and Feb, even in terms of your secrets from your history.
131060, what have you discovered via Ancestry.com? Now, this is Brad. We had Brad from Ancestry.com come in and tell us our secrets.
Can I say something just quickly?
Yeah.
So the sister Byron, that was... So go back to this. Sure. So they did it in Australia and they said it's a match. So they've flown over, found out the mum wasn't a match, but the sister was a match to her DNA. And then they got this guy who did the DNA and were questioning him why they would botch a DNA.
Right.
And then they went to the police station, Mark Doran got locked up for 10 hours.
Oh, my God.
Something fishy.
We'll get to the bottom of that.
Okay. Yeah. In the meantime.
Hopefully Matt Doran will get back to us.
Yeah, it's more Matt Doran's responsibility. He's the actual journo. Here we go.
So when we had Brad from Ancestry.com come in.
Your background first.
Yeah, okay.
This was a secret.
One of your ancestors, and I think it was a two times great grandfather, James Denton, he was the mayor of Fitzroy.
Oh, you little hippie.
He's the mayor. I'm the mayor of hipsters.
It's the last place Fee would hang out on the weekends.
Leon Shergren, our executive producer, works in Fitzroy every Saturday night at the Lame Duck. I'm your mayor, man. I own you.
Fev's secrets were, as Brad from Ancestry.com revealed, a little more humble.
And we get to another great-great-grandfather by the name of John Dunham. He was a convict.
Oh, dear. Right?
Horse stealing.
Oh, geez, I lost a lot of money on the horse. Oh, God, that might have been where my bad luck went on the punt. But after doing a lot of research that the Ancestry.com didn't reveal, he was like William Wallace. He'd go steal the horses, sell them off to feed the poor.
Who did the research?
I did.
When he says research, he made that up.
No, that's what they did.
131060, what did you discover?
Blue collar.
Well, maybe this is not even you. Maybe it's a story, like an amazing story from a friend or a colleague. Or just what's been discovered on Ancestry.com that is a bit shocking?
My favourite was Byron's history. He's a great grandfather.
James.
Jump ship.
Okay, with the US Navy.
He's living here.
Defector.
Yeah.
Well, it's a.
And he always says, Byron Cook with an E on the end. There's no E.
He added an E so he could escape.
So they could live here.
I guess being locked up.
Okay, well, that's. He did.
He was actually a criminal.
He did. Well, wow.
That's worse than
horse
stealing.
We'll take a break. He ended up serving for the Australian Army.
Under a different name.
We'll take a break.
1019. The Fox.
Ancestry.com. Secrets.
Last night, an explosive episode of Sunday Night on Channel 7, where an Australian woman had been adopted, living on the Sunshine Coast her whole life, but knew she was from Zimbabwe and she believed that she'd been left by a roadside. She's gone back. She's met her parents. Oh, there was a twist. Her parents, that the DNA said were her parents, weren't her parents. Something's happened. Did that make any sense?
Was there an end game? Because I fell asleep.
No, you fell asleep in an ad break.
Is there more next week or is that it?
That's it. I think Matt Doran has to go back and get a bit more.
Get onto that, Matt.
There's a mystery and there was a DNA test that wasn't accurate. Anyway, DNA testing, it does lead you to discover things about yourself that you didn't know.
Actually, guys, quickly, just once. When we did the group test here, we decided we should all do it. I forgot that I'd already done it. And I then got an email from Ancestry.com saying that I have a twin. hey, what would be wrong with that?
No, nothing.
Linda in Melton.
Imagine two Byron Cooks getting around Melbourne on a weekend.
Cooks with an E. Linda, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good, Linda. What family secret did you discover via Ancestry.com?
So I ended up doing my DNA and it turned out that my father, who I thought was a family friend, it's very packed and sorted, but I'll tell you the short turned out that he's my father. and because I turned out to be half Irish and none of my family were Irish. So I was devastated. I was like, what? And my mum has passed away. The whole family has passed away. I'm left with this.
So you, the man that you thought was your father wasn't, it was actually someone that was a family friend.
So mum had been...
We knew that there was an affair with this man and they'd had a child in the last, 10, 20 years. I just didn't realise it was me.
And has he passed away now too, Linda?
No, he's in a nursing home with Alzheimer's and the family won't let me near him.
Well, this is a really tough one. I'm sorry to hear all of this.
That is really tough.
Oh, man. All right. Well,
Linda.
That's not Linda's real name.
They won't let you go see your dad.
Well, yes.
Wow. Just go.
So you've spoken to his family about this?
His stepchildren. Yeah, they're actually very good friends of ours and it's turned nasty.
Oh, Linda, that's a real shame. Oh, that's a sad story. Now we've got Todd from Hyatt. Hi, Todd.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, good. Todd, on the back of that, we realised that Ancestry.com's not always fun. Did you discover something and how traumatic is it?
Well, not too traumatic. I grew up in New Zealand and I was always led to believe that somewhere in the background there was some Maori heritage, to the point where through university I got a bit of a scholarship where I had to go to these Maori language classes and stuff, which is fine.
Yeah.
Did Ancestry, well, a version of Ancestry.com, and it turns out I'm 100% European.
Oh, wow. Todd, that's amazing. So you were like getting special exemption and doing Maori classes.
I was showing up to these things with my blue eyes and being like, nah, I'm Tangata Whenua, it's fine.
Hey, at least you got your New Zealand accent, mate.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's extraordinary. Steve has nothing to say because...
That's great, okay, I love it.
Good stuff.
Did you find out who your parents were?
Yeah, I got the legitimate parents. They're who they say they are.
Oh, cool, as long as that's... Good. Yeah.
That's a tip.
101.9 The Fox.
Hey, Byron, I'm having a baby very soon, hopefully.
Did you hear that, Pep?
A matter of weeks. And I thought we might have the little opener. I know. I just thought you might have had it ready.
Why do you do this to me? Why don't you, like, 10 seconds?
Conrad Sewell?
Yeah, Conrad.
10 seconds
before. I used to assume you think of it.
Why do you do this to me?
It's just part of your job.
Anyway, what you...
Remember when I asked for it on Friday? Yeah. Fev and Byron didn't have it?
How is little bubs going
in there? How long am I going to wait for that?
No, he's going to be waiting a while.
Okay.
How is little Bubs in there?
Yeah, Bubs is good. Bubs is kicking a lot, moving.
Because it'll be full.
Here it is. Oh. I just heard the news that Fifi's growing up. She's already such a great mom. Fifi needs some food and Fifi needs a nap. Fifi needs a vom. Fifi's up.
Well-timed, Byron.
Thank
immaculate
you.
Timing. Now, as we were saying, Fev, I'm in that stage of sleepless nights, reflux, can't get comfortable.
It'd be fully grown nearly in there.
Well, I think it's just popping on a lot of fat. This is the bit where the weight kicks in.
Right.
I mean, my weight's already kicked in. It's scary to think because I've got, another 8 weeks or so to go. I'm not that close, but...
pretty close.
I could put on a lot more. How can I put on more weight than this? It's going to be interesting. I don't know where it's going.
We might have to help you. We have to roll you into the hospital.
What's going to happen? But anyway, what I have noticed, Fev, about a second pregnancy, and other women might be able to relate to this, is your first pregnancy, everybody, because it's a new experience.
It's exciting.
The second one, everyone's a lot more casual about it.
Hey, wait till you have a fourth one.
And you're right. No one.
Everyone's like, Alex, have another one. Yeah, cool.
But, what I've noticed is, and someone said to me on the weekend, you're on the home straight now, third trimester. Are you all ready? And I'm like, I'm sort of ready. Yeah, I think so. And they said, when's your baby shower?
Ooh.
And I went... I don't know. I don't have one.
Well, hang on.
And then they said,
it's
no, you
not our, it's not our job.
Well, Pearl Box.
Well, no, hang on.
What's your mother done?
It's not our job.
Well,
we do wet the baby's head.
Well, no, I believe as a good friend of mine, Fev, that is something that you would
I don't want to be sexist here, but I don't think it's a male's job to run a baby shower. We organise the piss up afterwards.
That might be the most sexist thing you've ever seen.
No. But we don't. Who orders? I've never done a baby shower.
I think you need to break the gender barriers on that. Break
really?
The divide. Absolutely.
All right, I'll do a baby shower. It'll be a piss up. It's not going to be all cupcakes and like, here's your nice little.
Why can't you enjoy a
it'll
cupcake?
Be at the, no, because it'll be at the pub.
No, why don't you do a nice like high tea for me or something?
A high tea?
People in your life.
I just feel like
I know we're all friends, but I'm thinking of your mother. You've got there are some people that are surely ahead of the queue.
I'm just thinking you're both good friends.
All right,
and
I'll do a baby shower for you then.
You've been there for me.
Do you want a baby shower?
Well, I'd just be nice.
All right, let's do one. We'll do the lame duck Friday night.
101.9 The Fox. The Fox.
Hey, Fev, remember I told you a couple of weeks ago, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I said I'm going to get Trix into learn music. So
yes.
She started piano lessons.
Yes.
So she's 3 weeks into her piano lessons.
And you wanted to buy a grand piano.
No, I did not. No, quite the opposite. I actually wanted to just start basic because if she abandons piano lessons, I don't want to be stuck with a piano. But now I've got number two coming through. Number two, if Trix doesn't take to piano, this one's got to play it.
Yeah. Like, it has to.
Really?
And if I'm buying a piano.
And you've got piano fingers, so you
can
play it.
Well, thank you. 7 years of piano I learned.
Wonderful.
I can play Memory from Cats.
Can you?
The Can-Can. Mm. Got three in my repertoire.
Memory like a fish.
Now,
after 7 years, I'd hope you have more than two songs.
Unfortunately, it's not a natural talent. But so she started piano lessons, and I bought a digital piano. So it's like
just one of those things from Toy World.
No,
it's a toy.
From an actual music
shop.
Oh,
like a proper piano.
It's quite expensive. Yeah. It's not as expensive as a proper acoustic piano.
Yeah.
But it feels like a piano. It looks like a piano. But the
how does she go
about this? The digital piano is you can put headphones in, so I don't have to hear it.
Perfect, love it.
And does she go well?
Well, this is the thing. So Fev, about 3 weeks ago, the piano got delivered.
Yep.
In a box.
Yep.
And it's still in the hallway in the box.
Oh.
So what's happened is
hasn't been unpacked.
I won't lie. When I bought the piano, I assumed the piano got delivered as a piano. It gets delivered in a box, and you've got to make the piano.
That's where you went wrong.
I can't make a piano.
No.
I mean, I can't actually build a piano.
You've got to go to my school of buying things. Like when I go to Bunnings and buy like a barbecue, or I buy like a couch or something, like a tall boy.
Yeah.
I just say I want that one.
You
and
want
they
the
say,
on the floor.
Oh, we'll go get the box. No, I'll have the one on the floor, please. And they deliver it, bang, done.
Wow, the display model.
Yeah, because then you'd have to build it.
Do you know, that
easy.
Is genius. In fact, at IKEA, what I do is when I get a few things, I try and say, like once a year I go to IKEA to get a few things, like desk, storage unit, and then I pay the $100 to get someone to come in and make it.
Correct.
That's a good.
So you need someone to build. Do you want me and Byron to come over and build it?
Oh, gosh, could you? Oh, my gosh, because I want to get it upstairs as well. I need someone to carry it upstairs.
Yeah, we'll do that. I'll do that.
And build a piano?
You say no?
So far, no, since 8 o'clock, you're just taking on jobs. You're running a baby shower.
She's pregnant. And she's got no one to help her.
We've got a lot on.
Well, I'll help. If he doesn't want it, I'll do it.
Fev, I really appreciate that. I just need the piano made, lifted upstairs.
Easy.
Because...
Is there Uber build?
No, it's actually called AirTasker. I use it all the time because I can't build anything.
No, we'll do it.
Just get
what day do you want it to do it?
Okay, today, because her piano lesson's tomorrow.
Oh, I've got a bit on today. But I can do it
tomorrow. NBA playoffs.
After work, we'll do it tomorrow.
This
we'll go
is brilliant.
Down.
Because I was going to say, I mean, 3 weeks of having a big box in the hallway, because I could just continue.
You're in the hallway.
I'm a ginormous box at the moment. It's just a big box just sitting there. And I thought to myself, I would not be surprised. Like, I feel bad at 3 weeks having this box just sitting there. Yeah. I'd love to hear 131060. What's still in the box? So anyone listening, what did you buy? And it's just too hard. It's now out in the garage. It's just still in the box.
Oh, this would be fun.
You can't be bothered making it. I think we may
what's
even have a jingle.
Still in Fifi's box?
No.
Is it still in the box? Yeah, what you leave in the box? You just couldn't be stopped, yeah.
What is still in the box is the question. 131060. You have those geeky guys that collect figurines and they keep them in the packaging because it's actually worth more.
Why do they have to be geeky?
Okay.
Well, what do you do it? Okay.
No,
I'm just saying. It's a bit,
could be cool.
Don't want to really.
Fev's got a mate, Wayne, who keeps things in
no,
boxes.
No, Dane.
Dane.
Yes, he did. And the kids, because he used to collect all the Star Wars figurines. He loved them. He didn't have much money, but he always seemed to have these figurines. Anyway, they were sitting there and the kids come over for the weekend because that's what I'd had the kids every second weekend. Oh, Dad, you brought some presents. Ripped them open. Dane, not happy Dane.
Let's see. Here we go. 131060.
101.9.
The Fox.
The Fox.
Is it still in the box?
Bye.
yeah, yeah. What you leave in the box? You just couldn't be stopped, yeah, yeah.
I bought Trixie a digital piano a few weeks ago because she started piano lessons. She's 3 weeks into the lessons, keeps saying, Mummy, I've got nowhere to practice because the piano I've bought her is still in the box. And when I say bought, like, it's not like I've got to make it. It's a digital one. You've got to make it.
Yeah.
Got to carry it upstairs. So it's just sitting there in a box. And I have challenged Melbourne for who's left something in a box longer than that. Now we've got Kay in Hoppers Crossing. Hi, Kay.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Kay. What Kay is still in a box?
I bought a Pilates machine 2.5 years ago.
You win.
It has moved. It's moved under the bed in the box.
That's the best.
Wow.
Kay,
it's
I'm
even
not...
moved states, though, as well.
Do you know what? That's I'm
travel.
Not kidding you, Kay. Is it one of the... Because I bought one. Like it wasn't a big Pilates machine. Mine sat in a box for a few years and I just gave it away, like literally a few weeks ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was quite expensive. So I keep talking about weight loss, but let's be honest.
Oh, I know. And Pilates sounds good.
Yeah.
But when you've actually got to do it in your lounge room, no, not happening.
It just come to mind, Boxy. Alex brought a TV, like a big TV for her work to put up on one of the walls. Like it was like a stick it on, not with a stand, so she can play like runway room videos.
Good idea.
Oh, that would have been 5 years ago. Yeah. It's still in the box.
What?
Yeah, it just sits in her store in her office.
Why didn't you go in and put it up?
Well, I don't know how to do that.
You should know how to do that.
Yeah, and it's a massive TV too, through the for the company, and it just sits in the box.
And you know what? See, TV the technology with TV is outdated now.
It just stays in the box now. It's done.
Dominic in Geelong. Hey, Dominic.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good, Dom. What is still in a box?
So 4 years ago, as a Kris Kringle present, I was given a little cheap remote control helicopter, probably from Kmart. It is in the garage.
It's still in the box.
Well done. I mean, that's annoying, isn't it? You're giving someone a gift, but you're actually giving them the chance to just do a lot of work.
I just get out and try just fly it.
Yeah, go.
Crush it.
Yeah, but and just attach a camera to it. Yeah. You got your own drone.
Yeah.
That's genius.
Put a GoPro on it.
Well played.
Aaron from South Yarra. Hi, Aaron.
How you going?
Hey, Aaron. What's still in the box?
Well, about 6 months ago, I signed up for the NBN. The modem is still sitting in the box, and I'm paying for it, and I'm just tethering off my phone because I'm too lazy.
Oh. How much a month?
About $85 a month. You know, I work with it all day. I just can't be bothered doing it when I get home.
That's about $600 you're wasted already.
Yeah, well, you know.
101.9 The Fox.
I love the elderly. I love old people. I love all the old people that have been in my life and continue to be in my life. I think we should look after our elderly. I think we should remember that they, you know, there are some cultures that really respect their elderly, and I don't think that we always do, and we should. And when the elderly do naughty things, and when I say naughty things, I mean break the law. So I can't even get angry at them then.
Right.
Did you see this story on the weekend, Viv?
My favourite.
I shouldn't laugh. This is actually really dangerous. A 92-year-old man was pulled over by police after driving on the Monash Freeway. That's really dangerous.
Yeah, it was funny.
On his mobility scooter.
That's the bit that's illegal.
At least he stayed to the left. It wasn't in the
right.
Well,
he was sort of in the service lane.
Yeah, it was nice.
I mean,
he was just cruising.
Incredibly dangerous.
He's like, I'm 92, Boxy. I can do whatever I want.
And that's sort of the bit I like because I'm tipping, and I've already got, I said this to you this morning, Fev, and I mean it. When I turn 70, I don't care anymore.
Yeah. 70's not that old.
I know, but that stage.
Byron's got five years.
Loved it. Well done.
Boom. Okay, good stuff. Have we got audio, 80. Boxy? Have you been talking?
When I'm in my 80s, I am all bets are off. I can do whatever I want.
Really?
Yeah.
Like this guy. Now, here he is. He's he's an angry motorist.
Move over, mate. Move over. You're on the freeway. Move over. You're not supposed to be on the freeway.
Okay, he's swearing back at them.
Yeah.
Good
he's probably, he's left Bingo, he's got to get home. Yeah. No one came to pick him
from
up.
His home.
Well, let's just leave it at left bingo.
Well, look,
it's more fun.
Look, now, the funny thing is, maybe you've got elderly people in your life, your nanny, your pops, your granddads, your grandmas, behaving badly. And I sort of celebrate that. They make movies about this with Michael Caine and
Angry Dad.
Yeah, there we go. Angry Dad.
Oh, Grandpa? You is just, Angry Grandpa?
Angry you know, Dad, your mate. Yeah, you do cashies with. Mate.
You spend Mark. Grumpy old man. You spend a lot of your life being polite and adhering to social norms, and then I think you get to a stage where you go, "I've done my bit. All bets are off." Yeah. So we would like to celebrate old people behaving badly.
Friends go wild. Let me out. It's time to party.
131060, nominate your nan, your pop, anyone that you know who's just gone, I don't care anymore.
The lives have already gone mad. 131060, we'll come back to your calls.
1019, The Fox.
And right now.
Friends go wild. Let me out. It's time to party.
On the back of the news story, the 92-year-old riding his mobility scooter on the Monash Freeway. Obviously, we don't recommend anyone do that. We don't condone it. But sometimes I think you get to an age where you don't care anymore, and he clearly didn't. And that's a great thing about old people, and we should celebrate the elderly and the path they've paved for us, the genes, the life they've given us. When I say genes, I meant genetically, not just like genes that they've given us. And we've got Karen from Bacchus Marsh. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Phoebe. How are you?
Good. Karen, have you got an elderly or older person in your life who's behaving badly and doesn't care?
Yeah, sure. So my mum has always been very passionate with my kids and their sporting achievements. But as she's getting older, she's like 75 this year, netball the other day, standing by the courts supporting the kids, and she's yelling out, "Get that girl off the netball court. She's a waste of air."
Whoa.
And I'm saying, "Mom, I live in a small community. I know everyone. You can't say this." And she's saying, "I don't care. I can say whatever I want."
Yep. See, owning it.
I get it, though, because you spend your whole life saying things you can't say. You've got to bite your tongue and keep it in and don't want to offend people. And then I get it. You get to an age where I don't care.
Yeah.
What happens if I offend someone? No, the sky doesn't fall.
You know when there's a big protest on next? We should gather everyone over 80. They just go home. Just tell them what they think.
Turn them on the vegans.
Yeah, it'll be amazing. No, I didn't say vegans, just anyone.
Amber in Lang Lang. Hi, Amber.
Hi, guys.
Amber, have you got an old person in your life behaving badly?
Yes, my grandfather, he's 87 and he got into a punch-on in his nursing home.
Oh, wow.
Amber, what? I mean, that sounds a bit rough. What happened?
He said the guy just got up in his face and was picking on him about being Scottish, and he just didn't like it.
No, well, that's not
as all
enough.
True Scotsmen did. Bang!
Exactly.
That's old school.
You're not going to pick on a Scotsman of all the nationalities.
An old one too.
I know. Marie in Ringwood. Hi, Marie.
Hi. How are you?
Good, Marie. Your grandfather. He's behaving badly.
Oh, definitely. Him and his friends at the nursing home have been growing bit of marijuana behind the overgrown bushes.
Oh, my God. Your grandfather is the best.
Well, I mean, we're not allowed to say that on air. But
has he been caught doing that? Or you just...
Yeah, because they came in and trimmed everything down. They weren't very happy about it.
Okay.
Did he get
he's like a dealer in the nursing home.
Does he get evicted, or is there a suspension, or what happens?
Oh, no, they're all still there.
Well, what's he say? What did he say when he got caught?
Shit. No.
He's got a foul mouth as well. Okay, there we go.
Oh. 82 years old, he's growing.
See,
marijuana.
I reckon when I'm that age, I'm going to be naughty and do things I shouldn't. And if anyone calls me on it, I'm going to do the I don't remember. Yeah. My dementia card.
Underworks, the number wonder, down under for socks, and has been for 20 years.